Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to be taking a brief glimpse on the prophet Jeremiah, a little bit of an overview of his ministry, his passion, his calling, God's work in his life. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Powerful words. God's sovereignty. Verses, by the way, that certainly speak to us about the sanctity of life, which is a big political issue, certainly, but more than that, a spiritual one. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That's the word in the Septuagint, by the way, proginosko, which helps us to understand the New Testament usage of the word foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is not just God knowing what you're going to do, as some people would try to define it. Foreknowledge is a pre-established loving relationship. And here, proginosko is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And it says, I knew you. And before thou camest out of the womb, I set thee apart. I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, my Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Do you ever feel like God places something before you, and how in the world can little old me handle it? Moses felt that way. But here, I cannot speak, I'm but a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And I've learned a long time ago in the ministry that when God calls you, He'll fill your mouth with the words that you need. And many of you have testified to me of that. Perhaps it's a meeting, perhaps it's a time to share your faith, and God gives you the words to speak when you need them. And He gives you that wisdom. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee. These are wonderful verses that just bless our hearts to know that wherever we are, we don't have to fear. Moving somewhere across the country, God, He's with you. Going to a strange college where you don't know anybody. Going into the military. Going overseas. Being transferred by your company, whatever the situation is. Don't be afraid of their faces. I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Notice, here's a ministry summation of the prophet Jeremiah, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. See, you got to remove all of the rubbish, just like in the days of Nehemiah, before you can start building. To build and to plant. Jeremiah began his ministry about 60 years after Isaiah's death. He wrote the book of Jeremiah about 600 years before Christ's coming. Jeremiah spoke the message of this book in the last years of Jerusalem, just before she was taken captive. He spoke, and he was a prophet during the last five kings that ruled over Judah. There were 20 of them that ruled over the southern kingdom. 12 out of the 20 were rotten to the core. Only 8 would be considered good kings. Out of the 5 that he ministered as a prophet, Josiah, all of you know he was a good king. But then came Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah, and all of those other 4 were kings that brought Judah into idolatry and subsequent captivity. If you look at Jeremiah 1:16, you can see that he sounded forth God's warnings. Jeremiah was called to be a mouthpiece for God, and he knew that his message was not popular. Look at verse 16. I will utter my judgments against them, touching all of their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. So these were the days of Jeremiah, full-blown idolatry. And he was sent with this message of warning. And for about 50 years, Jeremiah just plugged away, preaching the word of God. He was called the weeping prophet. And he had a passion for souls. You know, it's one thing just to preach condemnation, but we need to do so as compassionate people that love the people of God. Let's not be a Jonah and feel bad when people respond because of pride in our hearts. You know, God told Jeremiah what to expect. I'm calling you to be a preacher and a prophet, but I'm going to tell you ahead of time what to expect. How would you like to minister under those circumstances? Every preacher boy starts out in the ministry with the idea, boy, you know, I'm going to put out hell with a water gun. And they all start out with great. But, you know, how would you like to know right off the bat? Hey, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be rejected. You're going to be unloved. Look at Jeremiah 1:19. They shall fight against thee. Jeremiah, so send I you to labor unrewarded. Remember that hymn? Well, here it is, personified. They shall not prevail against thee, though, Jeremiah. You be my man and you stand by my stuff. And you know that's true of you. Nobody ever said that this world was going to be a Sunday school picnic for us. We need to be prepared to stand in line with the prophets, some of them who were even to the point of giving their lives. Isaiah, it is said, was sawn asunder. And here it says, they'll not prevail against thee, for I am with thee. The knowledge of the Lord's presence brings great sustenance and strength. I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. But Jeremiah's message wasn't very popular. You know, you can read about this message of judgment in chapter 19. Let's look at chapter 19 and verse 15. And see the message of judgment that he gave. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. You know what scares me, dear people? I see America going in the same paths that we see here portrayed among the land of Judah. What happened to Jeremiah because of his preaching? Take a look at chapter 20 and verse 2. Today, people are concerned about stocks and bonds. Well, let me tell you, Jeremiah was put in the stocks. It says, then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet, put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. They put him in stocks. Jeremiah was a voice for God, but you know what? He preached to deaf ears that didn't want to hear. Did the people hearken to his message, by the way? Well, let's just look to chapter 37 and verse 2. Look at chapter 37 and verse 2. And let's see whether they listened to what he had to say. Was the Lord accurate in his declarations? It says, neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. Well, I thought that God's word will never return void. He says, it will accomplish that which I purposed. And you know what? When people say no to the Lord, God's word still accomplishes its purpose. Because those very words will echo in the minds of those that reject God's word when they stand before Him at the great white throne judgment. Every opportunity to be saved, people will give an account for before the Lord. Well, he was even dropped. If you take a look at chapter 38 and verse 6, they even put him in a muddy pit. If it wasn't bad enough to be confined in stocks, look at chapter 38 and verse 6. They took Jeremiah, cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, a muddy pit. How would you like to be thrown in the muddy pit? Lord, I thought you called me. You sanctified me. You ordained me. Next time you feel sorry for yourself, think about Jeremiah. They put him in the pit so that Jeremiah sunk in the mire. And they threw him in a muddy pit. No matter what they did to Jeremiah, I ask you a question. Was the Lord with him there in the muddy pit? Was he with him in the stocks? Of course. What was Jeremiah's parish? The apostate nation of Judah. What was his message? A coming doom and judgment. The Babylonians are coming. God used a wicked nation to judge his chosen people. Could God use a wicked nation to judge America? Is America beyond that? Of course not. His popularity? He knew how to make enemies. His habitat, probably most often in prison. His encouragement was that the Lord was with him. His motivation, I like this. Look at chapter 20 and verse 9. Underline this in your Bible. This is Jeremiah's motivation. There was nothing external that would have encouraged him to keep on going on in the ministry. If he looked to circumstances, and if he looked to receptivity, and if he looked to the common yardsticks that modern day churches look at today, he would have quit a long time ago. But what was his motivation? Chapter 20 and verse 9. Underline it. Read it and assimilate it. Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He got discouraged. You know, he was made out of the same stuff that you are and that I am. You know, every one of us at one time or another have said in our hearts, what's the use? I'm so discouraged. Maybe this, maybe that. Maybe you're facing trials at home, testings with your family. He says this, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah fired himself, so to speak, on Sunday, and he rehired himself on Monday. He said, you know what? I've got to keep on preaching because God's call, God's word is like fire in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. Now, there's certain key words. I just want us to look very briefly at a few key words in the book of Jeremiah. The word Babylon, that instrument that God would use to judge his people, Babylon occurs 164 times in the book of Jeremiah. Again and again, Jeremiah warned the Jews that God's judgment was coming because of their sin and that God would use a pagan nation such as the Babylonians to destroy their city. Chapter 20 and verse 5 of Jeremiah, notice, "Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof, all the treasures of the king of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon." The key word Babylon is used so many times. Another key word that is found is not only Babylon, but the word backsliding. The word backsliding is used quite often. It's found 13 times in the book of Jeremiah. And we can see that concept there where they had backslided. And look at chapter 3 and verse 22. Chapter 3, verse 22. Just to share a few, because I could give you several. But chapter 3, verse 22. "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we will come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Look at chapter 5 and verse 6. "Wherefore, a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased." Chapter 14 and verse 7. Chapter 14 and verse 7. "O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee." That needs to be the keynote of our hearts, one of repentance. And the Lord wants his people to return to him. And the message of returning is so prominent. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. Chapter 3 and verse 12. You know, the solution to backsliding is returning and acknowledging of sin. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. "Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep my anger forever." There's the message of mercy as well. But then he says, only, you circle return in verse 12, now circle acknowledge in verse 13. "Only acknowledge thine iniquity." You see, there needs to be an acknowledgement before God of the iniquity. "Acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree." That's the idolatry of the groves. "Ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord." So the matter of backsliding is dealt with. Another word that's key in the prophetic message of Jeremiah is not only the name Babylon, which is the instrument of judgment, and the word backsliding, but the word obey is used so many times in the scriptures of Jeremiah. It's found 18 times, the word obey. Say it with me, obey. That's a critical issue here. It's found 18 times. Look at Jeremiah 42 and verse 21. Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 21. Here it says, "Now I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for which he hath sent me unto you." You know, is there an evidential obedience? So many people say the right words, but is there a demonstrable demonstration of obedience on the part of those that say that they have repented? Those who do not obey God's voice are in trouble. And You know, today it pays to obey in our lives as well. The Lord says, return unto me. Notice the message of returning unto the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 1. Jeremiah 4 and verse 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. But Israel, of course, refused. Did the people do what God said? Of course not. Notice the sad words of chapter 5 and verse 3. Chapter 5 and verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. You know, there's a generation that will not respond to the Lord's chastening. The Lord chastened and chastened and warned, and it says here, I've stricken, but you have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. Do you know anybody like that? They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Compare John chapter 5 and verse 40. Let's take a look at, don't lose your place in Jeremiah, but look at John chapter 5 and verse 40. The Lord is speaking to the religious leaders of his day, and he says, search the scriptures, John 5:39. I take that, by the way, in the indicative mood rather than the imperative mood. King James has it in the imperative mood, but both endings are identical. Better understood, you search the scriptures in the indicative. In other words, what he's saying here, if you read the context, Pharisees, you search the scriptures. You think you have eternal life, but they testify of me and you don't even realize it. That's the idea of the text, you see. Some people, if you read it as a command, search the scriptures for in them you think you have eternal life. That kind of gives the idea that maybe you think you do and you might not. I wonder if I do, or, you know. But in the indicative mood, it sounds much more understandable. But the key that I'm bringing at is, just as in the days of Jeremiah, look at the Pharisees in verse 40. Ye will not come to me that you might have life. You see, some of you are wondering, how many times do I have to confront this person that I'm dealing with the truth? And it seems that their head is as hard as a rock. Well, get in line, because you're fellowshipping with the prophets. Sometimes, you know, but you just do what God tells you to do. And God wanted them to come to himself, but they refused. Jesus gave an invitation. You remember in Matthew chapter 11? Look at Matthew 11. In the days of Christ, Matthew 11 verse 28. In Matthew 11:28, the scriptures read as follows. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Did they come? No. You look at the invitation that Jesus gives in Matthew 23 and verse 37. Matthew 23, 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them that are sent unto thee. Just like Jeremiah. How often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. What are the next words? Read them with me. And ye would not. You see, there are people that want to live life their way. They don't want to listen to God. They want to try to heal their problems their own way. Heal their home their own way. Solve problems and inventions on their own terms. But God says, no, It has to be my way. I want to finish, though, with this fact. As hard-hearted as Judah was, look at the fact that God is faithful. Let me close with Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. The message of the new covenant. You know, the new covenant will be made with Israel, yes, at the time of the kingdom. God isn't through with Israel. Christ is going to come. But look at the message of the new covenant in verse 31 through 34. God is faithful. Jeremiah's book has some good news in it as well. Even though judgment is coming, Jeremiah knew that a brighter day was coming also. Look at verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. That's true of the church today. The church, composed of Jew and Gentile, have experienced the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of all glory. But that's not true of national Israel. Someday, Israel nationally shall be saved, and she will enter into the kingdom, and there will be a universal indwelling of God's chosen people, apart from the church concept. And there are in the church today, of course, Jews and Gentiles, both indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But notice, I'll write in their hearts my law. I will be their God, they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. That's true as they enter into the kingdom. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our message is a challenge. Pray for our country, for we are in the paths of Judah. Number two, let's remember the key words. Repentance and obedience and following the law of the Lord. Perhaps you find yourself as an unheard prophet in your land, one way or another. Keep on being faithful. Keep on standing for the Lord. Stay in the will of God. Keep on serving Him. God called you. It's appointed for you to be faithful. Make sure you don't look to externals to determine the level of success, because God looks at the heart and the calling and His purpose. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and thank You, Father, for the challenge that we can have as we look to the prophet Jeremiah. A man, Lord, who was given a message. And, Lord, it wasn't a bright one. But, Lord, it was a message that needed to be heeded. And, Father, I just pray that You would help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to realize that we can experience true success in obeying and in following Your teaching and instruction and Your will for our lives. Bless us as we go to prayer together. Lord, if there's one that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, may they come to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ, the one who can deliver from the power of the enemy, Satan himself. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.